that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Sing your name.
Lord, your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ my King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way,
yes,
to him who is our King. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me.
Sing that again.
The fear that held us. Final breath upon the cross
is now alive.
It's now alive in me. Your name is victory.
Yeah.
All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Your name.
Victory, all praise will rise.
Sing it again. Your name is victory, Lord.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King,
by your Spirit,
by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Oh. was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed us.
Your name is victorious. Yeah.
All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Your name
is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King
by your Spirit.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King,
oh, yes,
is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Yes, Lord.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Oh,
your name.
Your name is victory.
Yeah.
All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Your name, Lord.
To Christ our King. By your Spirit,
come on, everybody, sing it.
From the ashes,
declare it. By your Spirit, I will rise.
The resurrected King
is resurrecting me.
In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting.
By your Spirit I will rise
from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Oh, hallelujah. Do that again.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
Hallelujah.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
By your Spirit
I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
Hallelujah.
Resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Oh,
By your spirit I will rise. Hallelujah. From the ashes of defeat. Hallelujah. By your spirit, come on, declare that this morning. By your spirit, Lord, I will rise. I will rise from the ashes of defeat. How many of you know sometimes it seems like the enemy is winning? It seems like he's got the upper hand, but if you'll just keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll just keep pressing on, you'll just keep looking to him and trusting in him, I'm telling you, Jesus will show up in your situation, and by his spirit you will rise from the ashes of defeat. And what the enemy intended for harm, God can turn it around for his good, for your good and for his glory. You believe that today? Come on, give him a hand clap of praise in the house. By your spirit I will rise. By your spirit I will rise. One more time, come on, one more time. Oh,
by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not.
Aren't you thankful for that this morning, church? How God has robbed the grave. Hallelujah.
Our God has robbed the grave. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
Hallelujah.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. Resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Have you believed that the resurrected King is resurrecting you today? Hallelujah. How many of you would say this morning, I just need God to touch me right now. I need a physical touch. I need him to touch me. Just lift your hand where you are. Just lift your hand. Come on, lift your hand. You need God to touch you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sister Margaret, I feel like Margaret Houck. The Lord just said, you lay your hands on her. The Lord said, it's going to be okay. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy is defeated. The powers of darkness are broken over you right now. That cloud of depression that's been coming over you in the name of Jesus has to leave right now. It's broken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Lift up your hands and give him glory, give him praise, and give him honor. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Raise your hand if you need a touch from the Lord this morning. Lift them up as high as you can get them. I reach over and touch somebody beside of you and gently lay your hands on their shoulder and begin to pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, church, pray. Come on, church, pray. Intercede one for another. Lift up one another in prayer. You don't have to leave this place the same way you came in. There is deliverance. There's a chain breaker in the house. I said there's a chain breaker in the house. There is hope. There is strength. There is healing. There is help. In the name of Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, because their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. How greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Strength. You will rise up in his strength today through the power of his Spirit. Come on, one more time. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Praise his name. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, if you will, please. Oh, thank you for your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to have Brother Aaron Phillips and Rita Phillips and their family. I believe it's Jordan, and I don't know everybody else's name, but thank you so much for being here with us this morning to worship the Lord with us. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to go ahead and read. I wasn't going to read the passage, but I feel like I need to do that. Matthew 13, beginning with verse number 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And in verse number 36, I want to skip down to verse number 36. Then Jesus sent to the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it brings into our lives. We're asking you to speak to us today. Change us, Lord, and transform us. Father, we don't want to be the same as we came in. We're asking you, Lord, to help us to hear the word and apply it. And may we live it out each and every day of our lives. Speak to us, Lord. The seed is your word. And I pray as the seed goes forth, it would be able to go deep into our hearts and germinate and grow and produce your fruit and produce harvest, a harvest that will last. We'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have you enjoyed this music today and this praise team? Would you let them know how much you appreciate them leading us into the presence of the Lord? Amen. I want to tell you what I sense this morning that is going on in the spirit realm. I sense a shaking of the church and a purging of the church in these last days. How many believe that Jesus is still coming back? You know, a lot of people don't even talk about this doctrine anymore because they don't believe it. That's the reason they don't teach about it. That's the reason they don't talk about it, is they don't believe it. But I'm telling you today that the signs of the times are lining up. You may have heard it all of your life. I've heard it all of mine. But Jesus is coming again. And I believe the Lord is trying to get his people ready for revival, so they can be instruments to usher in a great outpouring of his Spirit and bring about a harvest of souls before he comes back for his church. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't even really know how it's going to happen. I just know that it's going to happen. He said it in his word. We don't know when he's coming back. No, some people have foolishly tried to pinpoint it, but I'm here to tell you this morning, he will come again, and you better be ready for him when he comes. You won't have time to get some oil in your lamps at that point. You better have your lamps already filled up and ready to meet him, because Jesus is coming again. You see, God wants to send revival far more than we are prepared to receive it. Let me say that one more time. He wants to send it far more than we're prepared to receive it. It begins with the basics of returning to the Lord with all of our hearts to receive the seed of his word. I believe God is trying to prepare us for growth, prepare us for renewal, prepare us for revival. And it begins with going back to the basics. And as I talk about revival, I'm not just referring to a high motion event, you know, where the evangelist comes in and blows up and blows out. There's nothing wrong with revival services. I like revival services. We have revival services here. But if you just live from revival to revival, you're missing out on what the kingdom of God is all about. Because he's called you and I to have a desire for growth in the Lord. Growth. I'm talking about a process of spiritual conditioning that prepares the heart to hear and to apply what God is saying. Every time you come into this place and you come to the house of God to hear God's word, it's another opportunity for it to produce a harvest, for you to put it into practice and apply what you've heard. James tells us this way, it's not good enough just to hear it. Don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. According to 2 Peter 3 and 18, the believer is commanded to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a believer, one's growth in one's relationship with the Lord is not an option. I mean, he gave it to us in the form of a command. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this for a moment. If you have no more depth to your prayer life than you did a year ago, if you have no more knowledge of the Word of God than you did a year ago, if you can't love people better now than you did a year ago, then I would ask this question: are you truly growing in God? Now, there's nothing magical about a year ago. That's just simply used as a point of reference. How many of you truly want God's Word to produce a harvest of spiritual growth and fruitfulness in your life? I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the Word. I'm excited about the Word. I don't want to just hear it. I want to put it into practice. Jesus told a parable here that illustrates why it's so many people have been exposed to the Word of God but fail to live productive spiritual lives. In this parable, Jesus compares our lives and our hearts to the various types of ground on which the seed of God's Word is sown. And from this parable, we learn that the conditions must be right. The conditions of our heart must be right before the seed of the Word can get in there and change us and produce a harvest. You see, there's nothing wrong with the seed. How many know that God has not changed? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word hasn't changed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is sown in every direction. The seed is going forth to every person here this morning, the seed of God's Word. Everyone is hearing the same message. The difference in result is not due to anything wrong with the seed, but solely to the condition of the ground on which it falls. Therefore, it behooves you and I to take an honest look at the ground, the soil of our hearts, and see where we are today. Because if you want to prepare for spiritual growth, you want to prepare for revival. How many of you want to prepare for revival? How many of you know that revival doesn't just come? It doesn't just show up. There has never been a revival in the history of our nation or world that didn't come as a result of intercession and prayer. So our hearts and obedience, hearing and obeying the Word of God. There's never been a revival that just showed up without people paying a price for it. You want to see God move in your life and your home and your family, your church, your city, your world? It starts with you and me. It starts with allowing the seed of His Word to really take root. You see, verse 3 says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. There were paths throughout and around the farmer's fields, and it was inevitable that some of the seed would fall on the path." Upon these paths, and these paths were packed down hard because of all of the people walking on them. They were so hard that the seed being sown was unable to penetrate the soil. And so the seed remained on top of the ground as easy picking for the birds. Jesus is referring here to unresponsive hearers. Those persons whose hearts are so hard that the truth of His Word cannot penetrate their lives. And when your heart gets hard, listen to me, church, you open yourselves up to deception. Don't think that deception can't happen to you. There's people sitting on church pews all across this nation and this world. They've allowed their hearts to get hard. And now the seed just falls on deaf ears. I'm telling you, one of the challenges that we face as we continue in this Christendom, as we continue on this Christian journey, is to make sure our hearts stay soft and pliable. We've got to have some thick skin on the outside, but we've got to keep a tender heart. And we've got to understand that none of us have arrived and none of us have reached a spiritual plateau. And I'm telling you, we're all on this journey together, and we must continue to grow in the Lord. Because if you're not growing in Him, you're probably going backwards. Because He said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be somewhere in the middle and lethargic and apathetic about your relationship with me. I want you to be pursuing me in a fresh way. Keep growing. Keep growing. Just like those farmers, we need to plow the soil of our hearts so that God's word can penetrate and take root. Jeremiah 4:3 says, break up your fallow ground. How many know sometimes we just need to break up the fallow ground? Break it up. Do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Another scripture that coincides with this thought, Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. How long? To what extent? The Bible says, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. What does it mean to break up your fallow ground? Adam Clark, in his commentary, says, you should not be satisfied with a slight furrow. Let the land that was fallowed or slightly plowed be broken up again with deep furrow. How many of you know that sometimes we need to ask the Spirit of God to break up our hearts again? Break up our hearts in a deep way so that we can receive what he's trying to send us and hear what he's trying to tell us. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. I'm here to tell you today, there's coming a time when you may not be able to seek him. That's what is implied in this verse. We better seek him while we're in this season of grace. We've got an opportunity to call on him. We have an opportunity to be revived and to be renewed. We've got an opportunity to humble ourselves before God and receive and see revival in this day. We have an opportunity to see miracles flow again in the church, to see souls saved, to see bodies healed, to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got an opportunity if the church will pray again and call on God together. When the plowing has been done and the seeking is in process, the Bible says he will come and rain righteousness on you. The rain of the Spirit will come, the former and the latter together. Secondly, he said, you must put down roots. Look at verses 5 and 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they did not have depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Jesus is referring to the shallow layer of soil on top of rock. Because of the underlying rock, the plant is unable to put down deep roots. It is important that to understand that the real reason that the plant dies is not because of the scorching sun, but because it doesn't have enough roots to deal with the adverse conditions. Could that be the situation of a lot of people in church today? They don't have roots deep enough to deal with adversity. The same condition that destroys one plant will prove to be the substance of life for another plant. Everything depends on the roots. Turn to your neighbor and tell him everything depends on the roots. If the roots are shallow, the plant will be scorched and die. However, if the roots are deep, the plant will survive, and its very survival proves that it is a strong and healthy plant. And some of you have gone through some very serious, extremely difficult trials, but I'm here today to tell you, you just got to keep on digging deeper. Keep on digging deeper. Let your roots go deeper, because I'm here to tell you that the anchor holds in spite of the storm. That's when you need to get in the Word like you never have before. Right in the middle of the storm, don't run from God, but run to God. He's your refuge and fortress. He's your strong tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's why two different people can go through similar trials with similar circumstances. One person ready to give up and throw in the towel, and the other one is persevering.
They're praising God through it. They're trusting God through it. Oh, they don't understand everything. It's not easy. I mean, they're having a difficult time doing it, but they've made a decision. They made a decision before they got in the trial. They made a decision before the storm began to blow. They made a decision. I'm going to trust God through this. I'm going to praise Him through it. Hallelujah. I'm going to be better when I get to the other side. It's not just because I'm trying to get relief from my situation. I truly want God to help me and grow me and stretch me and do something inside of me and build character and integrity in me. I want to be who God's called me to be. Maybe that's what David was talking about when he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night." And he goes on to say, "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does," listen, "whatever he does shall prosper." I'm here to tell you, if you'll just dig your roots down deeper, whatever you do will prosper. It may look like the enemy's winning sometimes, but I'm here to tell you, it's just a setup. It's just a setup for the blessings of God. It's just a setup for a blessing. Hallelujah. God's going to turn it around. I said He's going to turn it around. Some of you need to hear that word here today. You just keep seeking Him. You keep praising Him. You keep worshiping Him. Help is on its way. You cannot go too deep. I'll move on to the third point in just a moment. No matter how much you have grown in the faith, you still have more growing to do. You're not done growing yet. As a matter of fact, God's not finished with you until you take your last breath. Don't ever get to the place where you think you just got to lay down and stop. I've done all I need to do. I'm going to let everybody else take care of it now. I'm just going to kind of ease on into heaven. God never wants, He never designed for any of us just to ease into heaven. He wants us to be praying and seeking Him and working and witnessing and sharing the gospel with those who are lost, making a difference in the world. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're called to make a difference. Thirdly, you must be aware of the thorns. Verse number 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." Verse 22 and 23 says, "And he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." The thorns grow up quickly and they choke out the plants. The weeds can consume the water and the nutrients that should be used for the plant's nourishment. And as a result, oftentimes the plant will die. And like soil with stones, the response of the worldly hearer is positive at first. But as the world creeps in, it covers and kills the impact of the word on the person. Have you ever seen somebody that just, they got a blessing from God and God touched them? They were so on fire for God, they received it with joy at first. And then the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and began to make its move. And the next thing you know, they were discouraged and ready to throw in the towel and just give up. I know, Pastor Aaron, you've seen it many times over the years in your pastorate. People so on fire for God, and then, boom, just like that, they lose their focus, and they begin to doubt that what they experienced was ever real to begin with. I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil is a liar. And you have to prepare the soil of your heart so that the seed can fall on good ground. Every time you're in a Sunday school class or a setting like this to hear the Word of God preached, every time you read the Word at home or you're in a devotional, it's an opportunity for the seed of the Word to go deeper and deeper in your heart and produce a harvest. You see, the cares of this world include the daily necessities of life, like food and health and housing and clothing. These are all legitimate concerns, aren't they? But which must be entrusted to God and His kingdom. That's what Jesus was telling us in Matthew 6. Your Father knows that you need all these things. Your Heavenly Father understands that you need all these things. But seek first. Everybody say first. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that have to do with the cares of this life will be added unto you. But these cares, in the words of Russell Board, they also include whatever fleeting fads and fashions happen to capture the attention of the culture from moment to moment, innocuous but time-consuming distractions such as sports and hobbies and entertainment and social media. I've never seen so many people being addicted to social media. Listen, sports, if that's all you ever want to do and you never want to open up this book, when the Holy Spirit is saying it's time to spend time with me, you haven't read your Bible in the last 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. But yeah, but you'll make time to watch that Duke and Carolina game or whatever game's coming on. Oh, you're passionate about that. What about His Word? What about prayer? What about being in His presence? What about praying for the church? What about your relationship with God? I mean, there's so many things that we can let become distractions. It's not that sports and all these things are wrong, or hobbies or entertainment. No, but we got to seek first the kingdom of God and not let the enemy weave his way in and deceive us and get us off track. He calls the second type of thorn deceitfulness of riches. The pursuit of worldly wealth consumes the energy that should be used in the pursuit of spiritual wealth, and has the potential to lead to spiritual death. You know, the enemy's so subtle. He's so slick and sly. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's time to take a fresh look at where our hearts are with the Lord. An interesting article appeared some time ago in the Wall Street Journal. It was an interview of the top six executives, all of them making six-figure salaries. And they were interviewed. And in the interview, each was asked this question: what is your greatest fear? Each executive answered basically the same, using different words. Their greatest fear was they would not have enough. That was their greatest fear. Is they wouldn't have enough. They were answered, well, how much is enough? They always answered, just a little more. Just a little more. It seems that the world's goods never completely satisfy. Someone has once said, you find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and the price of gold falls. You strike oil and the oil market deteriorates right in front of you. Your ship comes in and then it sinks in the harbor. You see, that's why he said, a man's life in Luke 12 and 15 does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Are you hearing me? Take heed and beware. A man's life does not consist in the abundance or the lack of things. I'm going to add that in because I believe it's scriptural. It's in the right context. It does not consist in the abundance or the lack of the things which he possesses. It's in one's relationship and connection to him and allowing one's heart to stay soft and pliable in the hands of God and letting him speak to you and change you and move in you and lead you by his Spirit. I'm trying to hurry this up. When the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches grabs hold of you, you can become like Achan in Joshua chapter 7. The Bible declares in Joshua 7 and 21, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, which with the silver under it. The saddest thing about Achan's sin was that his sin not only affected him, but it affected others around him as well. I'm here to tell you today, because we don't talk about sin much anymore. It just seems like everybody don't want to hear about sin. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't talk about sin, how can you call yourself a preacher of the gospel? Because you got to deal with sin before you can get healed and get delivered. The blood of Jesus has got to wash you before you can be clean. See, sin doesn't just affect you. And that's one of the enemy's biggest subtle conniving things he brings against us. He makes us think it's all about us. But it never just affects you. The whole army suffered defeat at the hands of their enemies because sin was in the camp. It wasn't until the sin was removed from the camp that Israel gained victory over their enemies. I'm here to tell you today, church, unless sin is removed from your heart, removed from your life, removed from your house, removed from the camp, you'll never see victory that God wants to bring in your life. You can't have revival and sin remain in your heart. You've got to let God do His work on the inside. You got to face it. You got to deal with it. It's not easy. Every one of us needs some spiritual surgery at times on our hearts. Don't be afraid to let God speak to you and work in your heart. He's there to help you. He's there to set you free. Don't ever believe that sin only affects you. When you allow the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches to control you, others reap the consequences as well. Yes, you reap what you sow, but to a certain degree, others also reap what you sow. So we have to start thinking about how is this decision that I'm getting ready to make, this choice that I'm getting ready to make, how does it affect not only me, but those around me? Lastly, he said in verse 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word. Are you hearing the word today? Who hears it? Who understands it? I hope I have explained it in a way you can understand it today. That's my prayer. Understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. How does one make sure he or she receives the word of God on good ground, the seeds of his word on good ground? We've already established that the heart must be plowed up in order to receive the seed of the word. But how does this happen? Listen to James 1 and 26, 1 and 21 through 26. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Everybody say meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I need this Bible. I need this word as much now as I ever have. I need it. And when I hear it, I reverence it. I hunger for it. I want to know truth and I want to live truth. I receive it with meekness, not like, well, I've heard that before and I don't need to hear that no more because I've studied that passage many times before. No, I come to it like I've never heard it in my life. God, help me not to come with presuppositions of your word, but open up my heart to hear what you are saying. It's not so much about you interpreting the word. It's about letting the word interpret you. Receive. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That's what happens in a lot of churches sometimes. That's what happens to you and me sometimes. We hear the word and we can't even remember what the preacher preached on when we get to the car. Maybe that's why we should write things down. There's a place for sermon notes on your bulletin. So we don't forget, because that's what we're forgetful. We forget things very easily, very quickly. Sometimes I have to read things 2 or 3 times. I mean, go back over it. Get it in my spirit. Get it there. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, you have to be very intentional about not forgetting what you've heard. You have to be, I talked to someone yesterday, I said, how are you doing? They said, I'm doing good on purpose. I like that. You know, you have to do on purpose. You don't just get to know the Word of God by happenstance. You have to be intentional and deliberate, right? You don't just grow in your relationship with the Lord by just sitting around and doing nothing. No, you have to work at it. You have to work at it. You have to be intentional, strategic, develop a plan, and follow the plan. Do it. The seed will germinate, grow, and produce a harvest for the Lord. Remember what happens when you make the Word of God your life and you meditate upon it day and night. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Those of you that like to garden, when you're sowing that seed, you know that seed, you're not going to have corn tomorrow. There's a process. But if you start sowing the right seeds and the ground is cultivated and it's been prepared and you do it the right way and you get enough water on it and you ask God to bless the seed, because how many of you know you can sow the seed, but it takes God to bring the harvest. You got to do your part and ask God to do His weight upon the Lord. But if you don't do your part, don't expect God to do His. So where is the seed falling in your life today? What kind of ground is it falling on? The seed that has gone forth this morning, what kind of ground is it falling on? Is it falling by the wayside? Is it falling on stony places? Is the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, is it choking out the word because of the thorns that you've allowed to grow up in your heart? Or is it falling on good ground? If the seed of God's word is not falling on good ground, you can change that today and tomorrow. Tuesday and Wednesday, you can change that. Get real with yourself. Get real with God. If there's no tilling of your heart taking place, get out of your rut and seek true spiritual change. It takes some guts to get that spiritual tiller out. Get that spiritual tiller out. And break up that fallow ground. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what? You know, it doesn't mean we're all going to arrive at the end of this message today. What I'm saying is it's a process that you and I can start of allowing the seed to fall on good ground. Amen. When I read the word, as I wake up in the morning and I read the word, I don't want to just read it. I want it to change me. I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I want to memorize another scripture that's going to help me when I get into the next trial. Because I'm going to get in some more trials, and so are you. But God's going to be faithful through it. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to worry about it. I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to walk with Him. How many of you know there's nothing that you and the Lord can't handle together today, tomorrow, next week? I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I just trust Him. Break up your fallow ground. Sow for yourselves in righteousness. Plow up the soil of your heart. Put down some strong roots. I believe that is the theme of this message today. We got to put down deeper roots. Would you stand with me? You want the seed of God's Word to fall on good ground? Maybe there's some plowing up you need to do here in these altars this morning. There might be some plowing that needs to be done. Why don't you just come and join me right now? If you want the seed to fall on good ground and you want your roots to go deeper, you want them to be deep in the Lord, then come and join me in these altars this morning. Come on. Come on, let's come and seek His face. It's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness upon you. Thank you, altar workers, for helping me pray with these in the altar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've come to seek You.